Praise the Lord. Like I said, I believe that as we were finishing up, the Lord said this is going to be a special day of teaching today. Okay? I want to tie into it from because it's a part of adding in when we spoke last week about enlighten my eyes, about the importance of our eyes being enlightened, of realizing, opening our eyes to what God is doing, opening our eyes to what God says in every situation, opening our eyes, open my eyes, Lord, that I might see the light of your truth, open my eyes, open the eyes of my understanding. And on Wednesday night, we talked about when, and how when becomes now. Because when we were talking about enlighten my eyes, you know, the psalmist started out with, well, how long, Lord, will you forget me? Well, when our eyes are open, we know that when we say how long, we know that that's just how long, just like that. Because as soon as we say God, he's there. And then we don't hang around in the how long thing for so long. We don't hang around in what am I going to do, woe is me, or anything like that. We just know that God comes. When we seek him, we find him. When we call, he answers. We're willing to just lay down everything else, realizing that if we hold on to the how longs and the doubts and the fears, that it just opens the door to destruction. It opens the door to the enemy continuing to take us down, rather than when our eyes are enlightened, it raises us up. He lifts me up. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Open, be ye opened up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord strong and mighty. He's a mighty God. He's not some apparition of someone's thinking. It's not some made-up thing. He's real. For the Lord, he is God, the Bible says. And you know something? If you know that, that's good enough. The Lord is on my side. That's good enough. He's my Father. That's good enough. One with the Father, one with the Son, one with the Spirit of God. I mean, when we were singing that, I could see groups of four. The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and me. And just dancing and circling and looking at one another and laughing. You know, the Lord laughs. Did you know the Lord laughs? The Lord rejoices. The Lord shouts. You know, someday I'd love to hear him shout in the midst of us. Can you get? Do you think something would happen if we heard the Lord shout in this building? It would be a miracle if the building stood up. But, you know, do you think it might do something to us? Well, you know, it's like right now in Florida. Last night I happened to catch, it was a brief segment, I thought maybe it'd be a big segment, but Geraldo Live had Todd Bentley on there. And he was asking Todd Bentley about these things, you know, and Todd Bentley just had pretty straightforward answers for him. So then he asked him, he said, okay, I want to see the documentations of your healings, and I want to see your Internal Revenue Service filings so that I can properly investigate this, and then we'll have another show on it. Well, I'm going to tell you something that's going to happen to Geraldo. About the time he reads of the resurrections from the dead, about the time that he experiences the presence of the Lord, it could be a real interesting report. A real interesting report that the whole wide world will have opportunity to see. But I'm telling you, when you have something like that and you have the presence of God coming powerfully, you know, why is it that people would say, well, they're falling down on the ground? Ezekiel fell down on the ground. Ezekiel took off all his clothes and laid on the ground and preached. You know, and they think that, you know, they think that weird things going on. I'll tell you what, when the presence of God comes, weird is normal. Because he's an awesome God. When you are totally uninhibited, what happens? What happened at Pentecost? They thought they were drunk. What was going on? There were some uninhibited people there. So that has really nothing to do with this except to say that, you know, when God is moving by his Spirit, moving all over the world, there are signs and wonders. And signs and wonders are what we want. Okay? We want those. I want those here. We need them in Highmore, South Dakota. We need them in Harold. We need them in Marie Heights. We need them in Miller. We need them all over the world, because those things are seeds that people see and they respond to them. Now, how they respond, that's their responsibility, but they got to be there to respond to. Okay? LeBron had a word last week about don't worry about anything else, just get the kingdom out there. Yeah. You ain't supposed to worry about anything, but certainly don't worry about things that are easy for God, but get a seed out there. Get a seed out there. And don't be ashamed of the seed, nor be concerned about offending people. Just get the seed out there. Praise the Lord, and everything give thanks. Let the whole world know the King is in residence here. You know? I mean to tell you, we're going to get to the teaching. I just got to preach a little bit here. It's just as amazing to me that people who are caught up on the other side, they don't worry about offending me. They don't worry about using bad language. They don't worry about making innuendos. They don't even think about it. Well, my praise should be just as unthought about. It's natural, right? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Okay, today we're going to talk about taking responsibility, okay? It's your responsibility and my responsibility to receive when our eyes are enlightened. In other words, it's your responsibility to receive the word when it's preached to you. It's your responsibility to receive the word when you read your Bible. It's your responsibility to take it in and then process it and then put it out. That's the responsibility when it comes to the sharing of the word. I have the responsibility as a pastor to seek the Lord to get the word, to make sure that I am giving you the word of God, not something that I've just learned over 25 years of preaching His word. Okay? I repeat myself a lot, but as far as I know, I have never, ever, never, never in 25 years preached the same message. That could be bad in some senses. There may be some that need to be preached more than once. But I try to preach what the Lord gives me to preach, and the only way I get something to preach is to seek Him. Okay? And so I take that responsibility seriously. But then I have another responsibility. I have a responsibility to walk what I preach. Now, my daughter preached to me this morning. She doesn't know it, but she preached to me this morning. She made me this nice little Father's Day poster. And on this Father's Day poster, it says a lot of things about me. And I read them and I said, God, I need to be that. Now, hopefully I am. Hopefully she wasn't just brown-nosing me, you know. But the thing is, there's some things on that that I just said, oh God, I need to be more that and more that and more that and more. Now, I have a responsibility to study that poster. I have a responsibility to worship the Lord. We have a responsibility to praise the Lord. Now, these are all easy things, aren't they? They really are. But we do have a responsibility to the Lord. How many times today did the Lord say, enter in? You know? Now, I'll tell you something. The Lord was so intent on us entering in that He gave Judy the song, One with the Father, One with the Son, One with the Spirit of God. Okay? So we know where we're entering in at. And then we can enter in. But we have the responsibility to do it. The door is wide open, but it's our responsibility to enter in. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another, but it's our responsibility to do it. We have a responsibility. We can't just decide, well, you know, God is God and He's in charge of everything, and so He'll make everything happen that's going to happen. No, that is not the way that it is. He said, If I have spoken it, if I have purposed it, who can know it? But the thing is, we have a responsibility to make those things come forth in our lives. It's like His promises are, I remember when I was in school, they had the old psychological test of the Pavlovian dog. Pavlov came up with this thing of, you know, feeding a dog. And every time that they would ring a bell, they would feed the dog and do it that way. And then pretty soon, if they rang the bell, the dog began to salivate without getting the food. It was a conditioned response. Okay? Well, I believe that the promises of God are yes and amen. And to a certain extent, when we take our responsibility, that rings the bell. And the promises are released because the promises are waiting to come to us. The promises of God are there. Angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to the people of God, and they are there to carry out the wishes of the Father. And if the Father says, okay, when they do this, this is what I want to happen. So that when we take our responsibility, there's nothing that can stop God. Okay? When Daniel prayed, when he took his responsibility to pray and to seek God, the angels started. Now, there was a fight in the heavenlies, but as soon as he prayed, they were released. As soon as he did the thing that he was responsible to do, God's thing took off. Okay? So, by faith then, we can believe that when we do what God has called us to do, when we do the responsible thing, when we take responsibility for what God says, it's done. Now that doesn't mean that there isn't some time in between. It doesn't mean anything like that, but it simply means He's coming. He's doing. He's heard. That's just the way that it is. I believe that that's what the Word of God says. I believe that that's what God has performed. I believe that there is plenty of evidence toward that. It's our responsibility to believe the evidence. Isn't that nice? Our responsibility is pretty minuscule. And yet it seems so big at times. It seems so impossible at times. Because there are so much smoke and mirrors out there from the enemy to try to convince us that God is not doing what God said He would do. There are so many excuses for, well, it didn't work for this person, it didn't work for that person. But the thing is, we don't know in everything if every person did the thing that was their responsibility. Do you understand what I'm saying? We don't know everything else that happens. We see some results. Okay, so then are we going to base our believing on other results, or are we going to base our believing on what God says? You can't even base what you trust God for on what's happened to you in the past. Because you don't know if you did everything that was your responsibility in your past. And you might as well just skip the thing of saying, well, I thought so, and well, I tried, and well, we've done all this. You just skip it and start a new thing. You know? Unless God comes and says, listen, okay, you really want to know where you missed that? Most of the time we'll say, no, that's okay, let's just go on. Because you can't fix that anyway. But you can ask God to restore, because God restores what the cankerworm has eaten. In other words, anything that's been taken from you, you can still get back, and you don't have to go back there to get it back. Just go ahead, and God will have it there waiting for you. It's like, you know, now I'm not just exactly sure how it is, because the airlines are getting just a little peculiar. But back when the airlines were rolling in the cash, and they weren't, you know, charging you for a drink of water, and they weren't charging you for anything and everything. Back in the day, you know, when you got on and you checked your luggage would find you. And if it wasn't at the place it was supposed to be, it would find you somewhere else. In other words, they would pay the expense, and they were very quick to take care of everything, and they were very quick to search it out, and if they couldn't find it, they would pay. They would reimburse you because they wanted, you know, I mean, it was like they didn't want anybody not to fly. They wanted people flying. Now I'm not positive that they do because it costs so much for them to fill their tanks with gas. But the fact of the matter is that you didn't have to go, when I went through the luggage place, I didn't have to go and get in the bottom of one of those, you know, overseas liners to check and make sure my luggage was there. In fact, I couldn't go check. They wouldn't let you. But they were responsible for it. Well, God's responsible for His part. We're responsible for our part. We need to take the responsibility of our part. Okay? And as we seek Him, we will find Him. So as we sow, we will reap. So how deep we enter in is how abundantly we're going to receive. You see, as we come to understand that, we realize, wait a minute, I got a responsibility to enter in. Now, I will grant you, we've had people in this church, maybe you were here this morning this way, but, I mean, we've had people sometimes wonder, what in the world are they doing? They go on and on and on and on and on, you know? We've had that, okay? Well, I have to tell you something. I don't care. Because I have a responsibility to go into His presence and to take everybody with me that will go there. My first and foremost anointing from God is His presence, worship. That, you know, the rest of it's overflow, but that's the thing, and He told me this, that's the thing He likes best from me. Because I love Him. And the longer I worship, the more I love Him. So I'm perfectly, you'll have to forgive me, perfectly willing to worship all by myself. And I guarantee you, if nobody else enters in, I'll be there by myself because He'll take just me. Because He loves to be worshiped. That's, I have a responsibility to worship Him. And at any point that people do not like me worshiping Him, they have a responsibility to ask me to leave. But wherever I am, I will be worshiping God because that's my first responsibility to Him. Now, here's a newsflash. That's your responsibility too. Worship the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. If you find yourself wondering when will it end, hit yourself. Slap yourself as hard as you possibly can and tell yourself, don't be so stupid. Okay? Because about the time that you are criticizing when people are worshiping God, you better look out. Because you have opened a gate for the devil. You have opened a gate. Nothing he likes better than an open gate to just abuse you, to just punish you, to just do whatever he can. Because you have just walked way out from under the umbrella and the hailstones are this big. I know, I'm supposed to be teaching, I'm preaching. Forgive me. We're going to get to this, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. All we have to do for the blessings to overtake us is to obey the voice of the Lord our God. That's all. That's our responsibility. Now, the thing that we have to understand is Deuteronomy 28 it's a favorite chapter of all people who have come to understand that God wants to bless people. Okay? Because it says you will be blessed in the city, blessed in the country, blessed the fruit of your body, produce your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offering of your flocks, blessed shall be your basket, your kneading bowl, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to do, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, that all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord were your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season, and bless all the work of your hand, and you will lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the word which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. 14 verses. Is there anything in those 14 verses that is left out? Is there anything that you can think of that those things that God said that he would bless us in, that are not included in there, that you could ever think of? It's all there. 14 verses of blessing. Well, actually, it's 10 verses of blessing. 10 verses that cover everything that you could ever imagine. And God says, this is the way it will be if you will heed my word. So, that's the way it is. Our responsibility is simply to heed his word. It is not difficult to heed his word. The difficult thing is to come into a place where you are so convinced that God is true and everything else is a lie that you would not even consider doubting. So that any time now, from now on, that someone comes up to you and says, well, what are we going to do about this? You can say, I'm going to heed what the Lord of the Lord says. I'm going to diligently observe everything that the Lord has commanded. He's got an answer for you. He has an answer for you. And never fail. And if someone says, well, you never know what the Lord is going to do, you can say without doubt, with every bit of assurance, and with no reservation whatsoever, yes, I do. Because God will do what God says that he will do. And I have determined, let God be true and every man a liar. Okay? Now, do not think that you can neglect your responsibility and God's just going to go ahead and say, oh, that's okay. As much as he would like to, he cannot do that. Because he's a just God and he's a true God and he cannot override his own word. Okay? And don't ever think that his word can't be overridden by people's own choices. Do you remember a time when they came to the prophet? I think it was Elisha. They came to Elisha. They asked Elisha to pray for a king. The king wanted to know how it would be with him. And Elisha said, O king, you will recover. But what he said to the servant was, tell him he will recover, but I have seen that he will die. Now, when you first read that, you think, well, now, wait a minute. Why would you tell him he'll recover, but you've seen he will die? Well, Elisha was telling them that because, yes, the king would recover, but this servant was going to kill him. And this servant said, oh, I would never do such a terrible thing. And so it happened just the way the Lord said. The king recovered, and the servant killed him. And hell broke loose. Trouble. Trouble. Everywhere. Because of the abomination of that servant. Because that servant would do something that would be against the Lord. Because do you think that the Lord would heal someone so that they could be killed? Not God's plan. But he wouldn't override that plan of the man. Folks, there's people out there that just plain aren't responsible to the Word of God, and so things are going to happen. Don't worry about it. Your responsibility is to be true to the Lord your God. Your responsibility, because you see, the Lord said, if you do things, then all the people of the earth will see that you're called by my name. And they'll be afraid of you. The Lord will grant you. And he goes through it again. Plenty of goods here, plenty of goods there. Everything here, everything there. God will do this for you. Everybody will see you. They'll know that you're blessed. They're going to praise me because of it. That's good stuff, folks. Your responsibility is to receive it. Our responsibility is to take God's word and prove it. Allow God to prove himself faithful. And all we have to do is trust him. All we have to do is believe him. All we have to do is obey him. You see, obey is not a bad word. And Jesus said, my yoke's easy, my burden is light. It's not difficult to obey. Even the most difficult sounding things that God asks us to do are easy because there's peace in them. If you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. Jesus said that for our good, not for his good. It's painful when you're unforgiving. You ever notice that? It takes a lot of work. Because every time that you're unforgiving, every time you think of a person, every time you think of something, you've got to get stirred up in your bitterness again. You've got to begin to let your imaginations run wild. You've got to start imagining curses for them, especially if you're a Christian. Oh, bless God, they're going to get out there where the curse is. You know what? When you're tied in tight with God, when you start thinking about them getting out where the curse is, it'll break your heart. You don't want them cursed. You want it to be well with them. You want them to know the peace of God. You want them to know the love of God. You want them not to suffer, because they're suffering if they've got evil in their heart. And it's not fun. You don't like to have evil in your heart. It's just awful. It's just not comfortable. It's just bad news. Right? Isn't that true? It doesn't matter what the circumstance is. Those things, because those are the most difficult things, I think. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Now, two things happen then. One thing is, see, a lot of times when we're praying for people that are outside of the will of God, we don't pray for them, we worry about them. And when we worry about them, what happens? Nothing. Because we're not supposed to fear. We're not supposed to worry about anything. So when we have the trust of the Lord, then we just say, okay, and we pray it, and that's it. And then we know, because the Bible says, because I have been faithful, because I have been diligent to obey the voice of the Lord my God, because I've been diligent to love Him, because I've been diligent to love others, all of these things are coming my way. They're on the way. Now the key is to continue to be diligent to follow the Lord so that we don't forward them to another place. See, we can't keep moving from the place of the blessing and putting up a forwarding address. The blessing's about there, we put up a forwarding address. So they got to send it on ahead to the next place where we're going to get where we're ready for the blessing. When you've done everything to stand, stand. Not when you've done everything to stand, move and leave a forwarding address. I mean, with Jordan in the army, he's moved. Our house is still the place of station. So most everything comes there, but when he puts in a forwarding address to some people, I don't know why, they send it to us anyway with the forwarding address on it. And what's really interesting is they send it to us anyway with a little note on it that says the forwarding time is running out. Well, so then let's send it to the right place. Send it to where he is. You have the address where he is. Now sometimes they don't, but okay. God has your address. Okay? Now sometimes what happens is that we get a surge of faith and we're standing. And we are diligently obeying, and we are doing so good, and we're just so sure, But it's been so long. And, you know, so there we are, right there at that address standing, and then we think, well, maybe I should do this. And as we step to this, the door shuts behind us, they bring the mail, it goes to a forwarding address because nobody's there to receive it. Our responsibility is simply diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Don't move unless God says move. Okay? Don't step to something else unless God says, okay, I've got this place. I'll hold this place for you. Now you go to that place because that's where it is. God says it, go. Okay? But you see, then we get this thing about, well, but I'm confused about God. I'm confused about His voice. Well, now, how come you can be sure about His voice for a while you're standing there, but then you become confused? Does He change voices? Does He change attitude? Does He change the way that He does things? No, God never changes. What changes is we lose patience. What changes is we begin to doubt. And when we do that, it changes the whole layout of everything. So our responsibility is simply to stand and keep standing, hear and keep hearing, seek and keep seeking, find and keep finding. That's our responsibility. And it will work whether you're 2 or 102. The Word of God is true. Can I get one of those? You can massage me. I can preach while you massage my neck. Anyway, you know, the Word of God is true. And so, we have a responsibility to believe it. See, this is not difficulty. This is not rocket science. This is just simply a simple responsibility. Now, we understand responsibilities. If you have a job, you have a responsibility to show up and do the work. And then they have a responsibility to pay you for the work. We all understand those kind of responsibilities. Ken, you're building a house out on the highway. You have a responsibility to build a house that's still standing when you're done, right? And they get an extra good house because they get a built house and a blessed house. Because it's a prayed-in house. If they had any sense, they would charge extra for it. Hey, in California, they'll pay people thousands of dollars to come in, whatever that is, to their house. Some oriental thing. They'll have somebody to come and put good karma on a house. Seriously. They'll pay somebody to come and put good karma on a house, whether they're going to live in it or if they want to sell it. There's people that'll take money to do that. Can charge them for that on that house because that's a blessed house. You just go ahead and tell them, say, there's a little extra because I prayed in this thing the whole time that I built it, and it'll be a really good house. So then they can put up a big sign that says, prayed for house. There may be somebody that drives down the highway that would be very intrigued by a prayed for house. Say, bless God, I was praying and I knew that the Lord said something about a house that was prayed for. And here I was driving down Highway 14 and there on this house was a big sign that says, a prayed for house. And God told me to buy that no matter what it costs. Okay. That's not so far-fetched. Okay? God speaks to people about things. I've had people stop at my house that were driving by and God said, go into that town and talk to this pastor. Now I have to tell you, the first time that somebody did that, I thought maybe they were just a little bit weird. You know? Mixed emotions, like, oh, bless God. Hallelujah, we got a smart one here. And on the other hand was, man, I have had some weirdos come by. You know? Because you never know when they say, God told me to stop here and that you would give me $1,000. Or this one happened to just stop because God wanted him to stop, pray with me about something. It was very, very pertinent and very much on time. But, you know, I mean, God's good at what God does. And so we don't have any business doubting that God is good at what God does. And God takes, can you believe that God takes His responsibility seriously? In other words, God doesn't just say things to be talking. Have you ever just said something to be talking? You know, Well, God doesn't do that. If He says it, it'll come to pass. So He takes His responsibility serious. So if He says, if you do this, I'm going to do this, our only responsibility is to believe Him. And then He takes His part seriously, because He's not going to have anybody going and saying, well, see, remember what Moses said to God one time? He said, now God, if you kill all these people, then people are going to say you weren't able to do what you said that you could do. And God said, boy, Moses, I never thought of that. You're right. No, I don't know how that conversation came about. Moses was just full of himself and God let him feel good or what. But it was so true that if God said He was going to do something and He doesn't do it, then people say God failed. Okay? So as long as we are doing what we are responsible to do, we can be sure God's going to do His part. And we can patiently wait if we have to. There is nothing wrong with waiting. Those who wait upon the Lord, He renews their strength. They mount up with wings as eagles. They run and not grow weary. They walk and they are not faint. That's not bad. So then, if you're praying and something isn't happening, the first thing you can say if somebody says, how are you doing? I'm getting stronger. Because those who wait upon the Lord renew their strength. My endurance is increasing because they will run and not grow weary. I'm just not controlled by speed. I can walk and not faint. Because the Lord is on my side. If God has purposed it, who can annul it? And so a responsibility to believe and to receive. You see, sometimes we can get the responsibility down pat to believe, but we don't take the next step into the receive. You say, oh, now, we would always receive. Well, maybe you would. Maybe you wouldn't. If you haven't, maybe you wouldn't. If you have, maybe you would. If you're expecting, you will. See, we quit expecting. Like, if someone wanted to be prayed for right now, and you came up here for prayer, as you came up, you'd be hoping, and then you would recover from hoping, and you'd be expecting. Yes, bless God, I'm a person of faith. And you'd be prayed for, and nothing changed instantly, and then would you keep expecting? Or would you let the enemy say, well, you know, it works for some, doesn't work for others? Or would you keep expecting? If you believe God, and if you're diligently watching over everything that God has said and believing for, you'll never stop expecting, will you? And how do you feel when you're expecting? I'm not talking about pregnant women, okay? Because I realize that sometimes toward the end, before you're going to give birth, you're expecting, just get rid of this kid. Oh, I can't wait to hold this baby somewhere besides where, you know. I mean, I understand that, okay? But expecting is, you know, there's something they tell me about a mama when they're expecting. It's pretty sweet, you know. I mean, even sometimes when mamas are expecting and they didn't plan to be expecting and they didn't know what to do about being expecting, after a while that little expectancy just overtakes their emotions and they just want that little baby. You know? Well, sometimes we might have to stay in it long enough to get into the joy of expecting. You know? Because everybody would like to receive instantly all the time. But there's something about expecting, you know. We tell our children at Christmas when they want to get into those presents, just wait. I tell young people when they want to get into some presents that they don't want to get into until after they're married, I say, just wait. It'll be better if you wait. Oh, no, I don't think so. I think so. I think that there's something to be gained by doing what the Lord says. Okay, so if you'll do that, now, we don't We just don't want to miss the other responsibility or the other things that we're responsible for, okay? But it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, to observe carefully all His commandments and His statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. If you're not careful to seek the Lord, careful to trust the Lord, careful to abide in what God wants, if you're not careful, who's responsible for the other stuff? We are. It ain't the devil. As we are. If we're not careful, if we're not careful to continue to press on with the Lord, if we're not careful to enter in, if we're not careful to be determined to love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all of our strength, I'm telling you something, and you all know it. If you're not careful to enter in, you can begin to just become complacent. You can begin to just wander. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens gradually. Because the enemy can't knock you out in a minute, but if you just become a little blasé about it, you just become, you know, making excuses about it, you know, it's just like, there are people today who are going to be responsible for their lives being a wreck because they are doubting what God can do in a large meeting in Florida. Because they are making their determination that God doesn't do that kind of things. If God doesn't do that kind of things, then God will just quit doing anything in their lives. And do you ever notice what happens when people are irresponsible? When people are irresponsible, they are a wreck waiting to happen. And what happens to them? They blame somebody else for their circumstances, don't they? It's somebody else's fault. And we are in a society where we've got a whole generation growing up and, you know, they're blaming their parents. They're blaming somebody here, blaming somebody there, because they haven't been taught to take responsibility for their own actions. They had a scared straight thing on TV last night where they were talking about the kids came to school and they were told that their friends were killed in the car accident, and they took the kids to the accident, and the accident, I mean, their friends were in the car and all bloody and all this stuff, and there was a mother hysterical over the loss of a child, and shortly into it they said to the children, now this is not real, but we just wanted to show you what it would be like if you experienced this. Now, kids were saying, whoa, that was a pretty serious reality check. But then there were parents saying, you've gone too far. Can you go too far to convince people not to drink and drive? Yeah. Can you go too far? The kids were sitting there going, yeah, and there were parents going to sue the school for putting their kids into trauma. The kids were okay. The parents went into trauma. Why? Well, I might have to quit drinking and driving. How dare my kid came home and said I shouldn't drink and drive. You know? We had kids years ago that came to Sunday school at our Sunday school and went home and told their parents that their parents were doing things that God wouldn't like, and those kids never got to come back again. The kids caught it. But you see, if we don't observe, if we do not enter in, we're responsible for being on the outside. And these things, the Bible says, will come upon you. Oh, you don't like the last part of this chapter. I'm not even going to read it. You can read it for yourself. But it starts with verse 15 and it ends up at verse 68. 14 verses covered everything we could ever need in life. 10. 4 through 14 covered the blessings. 15 through 68 covers the problems. That would answer the question, just in case people couldn't understand if that was part of it or not. In other words, God is saying, I'm responsible to bless you if you take the responsibility of loving, honoring, and obeying me. you're responsible for the curses that come upon you if you don't. Okay? We've all been banged by a curse now and then. Okay? We've all run into a wall now and then because of our own attitudes, our own whatever. You know? Okay, so what? That's past. Right? But if we become convinced, if we become so totally consumed by the fact that God is responsible to bless you, and your responsibility is to receive it, your responsibility is to believe it, your responsibility is simply to love God, then we will know that nothing's impossible with God. We'll recognize anything that's outside of the will of God. I can tell in the wintertime when I open the door if it's cold outside. I can't tell you how cold it is, but I'll recognize it if that's what I'm paying attention to. But I can also tell you this, that I can go outside, whether it's hot or cold or whatever, and if I'm not paying attention, I'll never notice. Somebody will say, is it cold outside? I'll say, I never paid attention to it. I don't know. I don't want to be controlled by that sorts of things. You know, now, if I was going to be out there for 4 or 5 hours, I would probably prepare before I got out there. But in my life and in your life, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to believe God. We have a responsibility to receive from God. We have a responsibility because He said, if you do these things, the whole world will see you and they'll know that you're blessed and they'll be afraid of you. Now, He was saying this to Israel because wherever they went, they were going to win as long as they honored God. Our nation needs healing, folks. Yeah. There's a whole lot of people that don't care about their own lives. That if they could bring down America, they'd be really glad to do it. That's kind of scary when you think about it. But we aren't scared because we trust the Lord. But our land needs to be healed so that we aren't just a wide open door for any kind of trouble that can come at us. People need to behold the Lord. People need to see God. People need to experience the presence of God so that our nation will turn back to a nation, one nation under God. Back to a nation that honors prayer and that looks forward to people that are praying rather than rising up. I mean, half the people that are so against a move of God that is going on somewhere are religious people, church people, preachers, seminaries, places like that. This can't be. If they would read the Bible, they would know it was most likely to be. God always used the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. They said Jesus couldn't be the Son of God. It's not so odd. So then, is it strange to think that God is ready to do more miracles than He's ever done? You know why? Because He loves this world. He loves people. But we who know Him, whether we know Him a lot or we barely know Him, we can know Him more. We have a responsibility to pray and to seek His face, to receive His blessings, and to reveal the goodness of God all over the world. That's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. And so we can understand responsibility in the natural. We want to fulfill our responsibilities, don't we? We want our children to be responsible children, growing up to be responsible adults. We want to take our cars to responsible mechanics, you know. We want to drive and haul our grain to elevators that have responsible managers. We want to, you know. We want responsible people to build our houses. We want that. We understand that responsibility. God just wants people who will take their responsibility seriously and love Him more than they love their life. To choose Him over everything else. And if you will, diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, the Lord will God, your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. So what's your responsibility? To love God, seek God, trust God, obey God diligently. In other words, that means sometimes it's diligence on our part just to overcome our irresponsible thoughts and actions. But diligence will get you past that. Diligence will say, did I say that? No, diligence will get you on through. That's your responsibility. What's God's responsibility? To bless you, to keep His promises. Is God a responsible God? Does He take His responsibility seriously? Is there anything that He wants more than to see His word fulfilled? No. No. Is there anybody that He loves more than He loves you? No. Is there anybody that God loves more than He loves you? Is there anybody that God loves more than He loves you? Is there anybody that God loves more than He loves you?
No.
Is there anybody that God loves more than He loves you?
No.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Well, then you've done a good job of being responsible to believe the truth. Now, let's take the way and walk in it. Amen? Heavenly Father, I'm so glad that there's nobody you love more than me. And I'm so glad that I'm surrounded by people that you love. And I'm so glad that we can trust you, that you are a responsible God, a true God, and that you take your responsibility seriously. And I'm so glad, Lord, that it's so simple, so simple. We simply need to diligently seek you and do what you say, and all of your blessings will overtake us. And Lord, we acknowledge to you that if we don't do this, then we're responsible for whatever else comes upon us. We're not responsible for anybody else, just for ourselves. Lord, we're going to become a people who are so convinced of how responsible you are, that we're not going to rob you of even one opportunity to bless us. And we thank you for all of this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Is there anybody that God loves more than He loves you?
No.
All right.